There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hello, and welcome to Ask a Clean Person, the podcast on Acast. I'm Jolie Kerr, a cleaning expert, advice columnist, and author of the New York Times bestselling book, My Boyfriend Barfed in My Handbag, and Other Things You Can't Ask Martha. You should send your questions about cleaning, or anything else really, to joliecare@gmail.com. Ashley Feinberg joins me today to talk about Hanukkah messes. Hi, Ashley.
Hi. I had no idea your last name was pronounced Care and not Kerr. I've been saying it wrong for years. This is already very illuminating for me.
It's an educational show, Ashley.
Yeah, I'm already learning.
Huh. I am so excited that you're here. I was like, winging a prayer, maybe Ashley will come on the show. And I emailed you, and you wrote right back, and you were like, yes, of course I'll come on the show.
I'm not doing anything. I'm happy to be here.
Good. Well, I'm going to make you come back often. You guys, we have like a pretty jam-packed Hanukkah episode this year. We have lots and lots of questions. I'm really excited about it. Ashley has told me that she has some questions of her own. Mm-hmm. I think what I'm going to do is devote the bonus episode to letting Ashley tell me about the questions that she has. I know the subject of a few of them, and I think they're going to be really funny. But I definitely also just want to have you come back and like,
yeah,
my life
is a mess. I would love to have someone give me advice on how to like fix myself.
Listen, I'm here for you, Ashley.
I appreciate that.
I am here for you.
She's been a life coach.
I mean, in a way, I kind of am a life coach. Like that's.
I mean, yeah. It's the closest I have one to one.
Before we get into it, I want to remind you guys that I offer bonus episodes and all sorts of other cool rewards to my premium subscribers. If you would like to help underwrite my show and listen to Chip Chat, why would you literally not want to be listening to Chip Chat? It is hilarious. And as I said today, Ash is going to ask me some questions of her own. I think one of them involves a mouse.
It absolutely. Well, it could be. I don't know if it's dead yet, but we'll.
Even better. Yeah. Love vermin. I love to talk about vermin when I'm eating potato chips. Mm-hmm. You guys can become an Ask a Clean Person, the podcast patron. If you want to do that, go to patreon.com/askacleanperson to help support my show. As I said, today is the Hanukkah episode. This is always such a fun episode for me. I grew up, for those of you guys who don't know a lot about my background, I grew up nominally Catholic, totally not practicing. These days, I'm a light witch. But I grew up with a lot of Jewish classmates in my grammar school. And one of like the big things on the first day of school was checking the class list to see if you were in Josh Moss's class. Because if you were in Josh Moss's class, that meant that come Hanukkah time, Josh's mother and aunt would come into the classroom with one of those plug-in electric fryers, and they would make lockies and tell us the story of Hanukkah.
Yeah, I was going to say, Josh Moss sounds like a Jew.
Yes,
sure. Yeah.
Very definitely. Uh-huh. So I grew up with that I was lucky enough to be in Josh Moss's class from like first through fourth grade. So I got like four solid years of Lockies. So I grew up with that. And then when I came to college, I went to Barnard College, which is the Women's College of Columbia, and it has a very, very heavy Jewish population. So like this has just been like Hanukkah and the High Holy Days and all this has been just a huge part of my life. It's just something that like, even though I'm not Jewish, I know a lot about.
Which just can be Jewish.
Yeah, this is true. Mm-hmm. This is true. And I know how messy Hanukkah can be. And I like the messes of Hanukkah because they're like, the wax messes are really fun and unique. And then the oil messes are not so unique, but they're very, very delicious.
And hot.
And hot, yes. So let us get right into our festival of light cleaning with a bunch of questions about menorah wax. I'm going to have you, Ashley, read the first two together.
Okay.
The first is from Kim. The second is from Eve. Well, sure. They came
be
out
an
on Twitter.
Honor. All right. Kim Alexander asked via Twitter, the same question I have every year. How do I get the old wax off my menorah? It's like a surprise every December. How on earth did that get there? And Eve Andrews asks, how do you remove wax from your mom's vintage lace mantle cover! That is not a question mark.
All right. So let us talk about generally the approach to cleaning wax is you're either going to do one of two things. You're either going to go hot or you're going to go cold.
Yeah. When I was little, I don't know if I was cleaning it so much as just being a pyromaniac, but I would like when no one was watching, I would like get a lighter and just like try to melt all the wax onto the floor, which is counterproductive, but it worked.
Okay. As someone who also is currently working on an article about holiday safety, don't do that. Don't light the house on fire, you guys.
The other article, I burned myself a lot, but that was a...
Don't light yourself or your house on fire.
It was fun, though.
Yeah. Blowtorch is certainly one method. No, don't use a blowtorch for it. But really, when you're talking about wax, you can either heat it up so that it gets back to its melting point and you can wipe it away, or you can freeze it. What freezing does is it causes the wax to contract such that you can then basically pop it off of whatever you've got it on.
You just put the menorah in the freezer?
Yeah. So when you're talking about getting wax off a menorah, you can stick the thing in the freezer and just pop off all of the wax.
Oh, that sounds fun.
It would be fun. The thing is, though, is that that is going to be a better approach for smaller menorahs and also less intricate ones. So if you've got one of the very intricate carved metal ones, it's going to be a real pain to try to pop all of the wax off of the carvings and the etchings. But if you've got a sort of more modern style, like if you've got one of those ones that's like the ceramic block, like I'm thinking of the like Jonathan Adler. I would be thinking of the Jonathan Adler style menorahs. Those are great. You can just pop that right in the freezer and it's just going to like you can pop it off with a fingernail, side of a spoon.
That sounds so satisfying.
Butter knife. Yeah, very satisfying. This is actually a thing. So I mentioned I was a late witch. Most of my practice revolves around candle magic. And so there's wax.
What sort of magic?
Just, you know, light cursing of people. We'll talk about that off mic, Ashley. There's like just always like wax everywhere. Like I've always got like wax on like an altar cloth or on a like candle holder, or I've like have like coasters and stuff that I use to like catch the drips. And so there's just always something bewaxed in my freezer at all times. Like if you open my freezer, it's like coffee, ice for my Chardonnay.
Which wax?
I you know, ice packs for the bags under my eyes for when I'm hungover from the ice in my Chardonnay. And just witch wax. Yeah. That's really the contents of my freezer. So that's one way to go. The other way to go that's probably going to be better for most of your menorahs is the heat method. And there are actually a couple of different things that you can do for this. When it comes to menorahs, probably the best thing to do is to blow dry it off. Yes, blow dry it off. This is also another thing that I do often in my own life because I do have wax everywhere. I just like turn the hair dryer on like the top of my dresser where the wax is, melt it, and take some paper towels and wipe it up. That's very easy. That is probably going to be the most realistic thing for those more intricate menorahs that you find. One thing to be aware of, however, and it's facile until you just don't think of it, which is what I'm here to do. I'm here to think of things so you don't have to, is that if you turn a hairdryer on something metal, it's going to get hot. So don't grab it with your hands because you could burn yourself. Obviously, that's a little bit less of a concern if you've got a ceramic or wood or glass menorah. You know, I know menorahs come in just like all different materials. I'm sure like in Brooklyn, there are some like, you know, that are made of like mustache hair that are very hip.
I mean, that would be fun to let on fire also.
Would definitely get lit on fire. I would not suggest a hair menorah, actually. I don't think that would be safe. Well, that would be a big safety hazard.
It depends on how you treated the hair. Sounds like a challenge.
All right, Ashley. Listen, I know your boss. If you burn yourself down, he's going to be real mad at me. Like, I don't want to be on his bad side. I've seen what happens to people who get on his bad
side. It'll be a good blog post. It'll be fine.
He will be happy with the blog post, actually. Okay, so one other thing to say, that this comes up every year, and this came up last year. If you guys listened to last year's Hanukkah episode with Josh Gondelman, he and I had this whole bit going about Esther and Marty, the couple from coastal Maine who are the lobster people. One thing that you can do to menorahs to get wax off is you can boil them. This is, however, not the most realistic thing.
Is that kosher? Are you allowed to do that?
You tell me, Ashley.
I feel like a rabbi would frown on that for some reason, but I can't decide why.
I think it's kosher, actually.
I mean, it's just as long as it's not like pig fat, you're boiling it in, I guess.
Yeah, I think it's okay. The issue with this is that in the place where the bit about the Jewish coastal lobster people in Maine came from is that, like, you'd have to use a lobster pot to find something big enough to fit your menorah in. So I don't really think boiling is the greatest thing. What you could do, however, is you could set the menorah into your sink and blast it with very hot water. If you have a hose attachment on your sink, that's probably the best way to do it, is just to turn the hot water on very, very hot and just blast the thing.
Is there any scenario where fire is the ideal method?
The blowtorch. You could certainly blowtorch it. I really would not suggest that, though. I mean, no, I don't think it's the best idea to take a lighter and, like, it works, but but you're going to burn your hand. It's going to take a long time. Like, the hair dryer.
Well, the long time was part of the appeal, was that I could just, like, sit there with the lighter forever.
I mean, I know that there were better things going on in Dallas in your youth, Ashley.
You would think, but it really wasn't. This was, like, a highlight of the year.
All right. Let's talk about the lace doily, the mantle cloth. Because really, the same kind of things apply, that you can either apply cold or you can apply heat to it. So certainly, if it's a small textile, you can pop it into the freezer and have the stuff freeze off. The problem is that if it's lace or like a crocheted doily, getting it out of the little individual holes is probably going to be
destroyed.
Almost impossible. It's going to be really, really frustrating. So I wouldn't necessarily recommend going that route. What I would suggest doing is the other way that you apply heat to wax stains, which is really best when you're talking about textiles. And this includes, you know, carpeting, upholstered furniture, you know, whatever kind of textiles you might have gotten wax onto, which is taking an iron and a piece of brown paper, like brown paper bag.
Why
from
brown?
Trader Joe's. You just need that, like, that kind of absorbent paper stuff.
Is brown paper more absorbent?
Yeah.
Huh.
It is. Indeed.
Well.
Yeah.
Two things I've learned.
Yeah, there you go. But you know what I'm talking about when I say the brown paper, like the Whole Foods and Trader Joe's bags, or like that kind of brown paper,
not like construction paper.
Yeah, or like the brown paper that you tie packages up in string at this time of year with.
Indeed.
You know, there's a whole song about it. In fact, so what you're going to do with this method is you're going to put the paper in between the wax and the iron. Mm-hmm. You're going to turn the iron on low. Start with it on its lowest setting. If you need to adjust it up because the wax isn't melting enough, you can adjust it up sort of notch by notch. But really, you don't want to apply super high heat to this process. So you're going to put the iron down on the paper, which is on top of the wax. You're just going to let it sit there for like 30 seconds to a minute. And then you're going to check it. And what the brown paper does is it absorbs the wax up into it. Yeah.
I want to drip wax now on you the want, yeah, carpet now. To do it. Yeah.
Well, we can have a whole like little like arts and crafts corner, Ashley.
Yeah, it sounds great.
Start
honestly,
bring all of my heated tools into you. How do you feel about power tools?
I mean, they seem super fun. I was hanging my own curtain with the drill for the first time, and
I'm sure that was safe.
There's like 25 holes like around where the curtain is, but I figured it out eventually. And I don't mind the holes. It's like a memory of my learning process.
Yeah, that's a very positive way of looking at it.
To answer your question, I am not good with power tools, but I love them.
Okay, good. That's actually the answer I'm hoping for. We're gonna talk about some power tools down the line. I'm obsessed with power tools. Obsessed. Our old pals Ashley at Jalopnik made the mistake of letting me buy and expense an orbital buffer.
Ooh, and I have no idea what that is, but it sounds fun.
Oh, it's like the best thing in the world. I love this thing. But that is a whole other episode. All right, back to our brown paper and our iron. So you're gonna check it. The wax will be absorbed up into that brown paper, and what you'll do is, if it's like a big patch of wax, you might have to just rotate the paper to clean spots to keep absorbing the wax. But that'll pull it right up. So that's probably going to be the best thing to do in Eve's case with the lace doily. One other thing you can do, and I've actually had to do this in my own life, because I had a crazy spill a few years ago in my apartment where, like, I was leaning over something that was on wheels and it slipped, and like my whole body just went flying And I had a bruise the size of Texas, Ashley. Like, you cannot even imagine.
On your entire body?
The whole left side of my body was just like.
That's amazing.
It was just incredible. And I love bruises. I'm like, really?
Yeah, I was going to say, it seems super fun to like show off.
I was like, look at that bruise, man. It's so cool. We were like, why are you like this, Jolie? Like, I don't know. But I've monetized it well. And in the course of doing it, I knocked over a candle that flew, thank God, flew backwards away from me.
Uh-huh.
But all of the wax splattered on a set of woven curtains that I had.
It's just like a great like slapstick scene.
It really was. As soon as I recovered from like the initial fear of like, uh-huh. Oh my God, I just knocked out all my teeth. like I was like, oh, that was actually pretty impressive. I'm sorry there wasn't anyone here to witness it. here's what I did.
Uh-huh.
I threw the curtains on the washing machine with hot water, and that was it. And all the wax came out.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Huh. So because what we're talking about in this instance is something that's very delicate, right. What I would say is don't do this if you have a top-loading machine that has a center agitator, because it's just too likely that the doily – I'm just calling it doily. I think you guys all know what I mean when I say that.
Yeah.
I guess she called it a mantle cover. The mantle cover could get shredded by that. But if you have a front loader that doesn't have a central agitator, just use the delicate cycle. Put it in there with other delicate things. Maybe consider putting it in one of those mesh washing bags to protect it, just so it doesn't get torn up on anything else. But just wash it on hot water and then air dry it. And I think all the wax will come out, because I had good luck with that.
Why air dry?
Because the heat from a dryer will like shrink things. The hot water is less of a shrinking concern. Also, when you're talking about vintage textiles, you just want to be as gentle with them as possible. I am going to talk about another product in the second segment that's really, really, really great on vintage textiles too. Because that's something that I spend a lot of time thinking about in this line of work, if you can believe it. All right, we do have a few more, or we have one more menorah wax question from Claire that I'm going to have Ashley read.
Let's see. Claire says, is there any way to prevent menorah wax buildup in the first place?
Yes. Ashley, you're going to love this one. Ashley,
you're going to. I hope it's fire.
It's fire. Yes, it is.
I knew it.
Here's my secret dream. My secret dream is that you're going to leave the studio tonight and you're going to call your mom and you're going to be like, Mom, I learned the coolest thing today. And she's going to be like so excited. And then there's going to be a voicemail from your mom that you're going to put on Twitter talking about how excited she is about this thing that you and she learned today. This
can't
is
wait.
My secret hope. I love your mom's voicemail. They warm the cockles of my heart. Okay, so here's what it is. It's so weird and great. I love it. Spray the menorah with Pam.
Really?
Yeah. So like if you think about like the function of cooking spray, like Pam, I mean, it can be any cooking spray, really. But the function of those is to create a barrier between the thing and the thing you're heating on the thing, right?
Uh-huh.
So like your baking pan and your cake.
Is it just make it easier to peel off, or is it just like slide?
A lot of times it'll just like slide right off, but also it'll make it easier just to like take it. It'll just come off. Like you won't even have to do the freezing thing.
Oh God, I want to light so many candles now.
Oh my God, Ashley. And
I've
created such a monster. I haven't brought you on for an episode where we're talking about the heavy chemicals I work with. Like
it just feels like when you like pour glue all over your hands to like peel off. It feels like that sort of satisfying thing, as one does every day. Too.
Yes, I start my morning. It's like I consider it like a paraffin treatment.
I'm not awake until I'm peeling glue off my hands.
I'm not ready to blog until my fingers are all glued up. So Pam, that's really the easiest thing to do. The other thing you can do if you don't have Pam around, is you can just put a little bit of any kind of cooking oil, olive oil, canola oil, whatever you got, coconut oil. I would not use pig fat. I would not be for kosher.
That makes sense. I thought you were going to say because it like burns up, but that too. But it smelled great.
Yeah. Just put a little bit on a paper towel and rub it all over
margarine.
Like, yeah, like you're buttering a baking dish.
No, but could you use margarine?
You could. It might go rancid.
It's only
8 days.
Yeah,
it's only
or,
8 days.
Or just re-butter it every day.
I mean... Okay. I'm just going to move right on. I'm not going to spend too much time contemplating all of the ways in which Ashley's ideas can go wrong.
I'm just saying the only thing I had that I think would be useful would be margarine. Not that I light a menorah, but if I did.
You don't have any cooking oil in the house?
I mean, maybe.
I feel like you probably
do. I have some cupboards I haven't opened in a while, but.
Yeah. I mean.
Like eggs? Yeah. Eggs or margarine?
Yeah. You could use margarine. I wouldn't.
Yeah, I'm probably not going to. But
I don't think
case.
You're going to. But then the thing is, you don't want to do this because you like the picking off process.
Oh yeah, no, so, I want more wax to stick.
Yeah, so that would like defeat the purpose. One thing really important, you guys, do not use. I know you guys know I love WD-40 for like everything in the world. Don't use it on your menorahs though, because WD-40 is flammable. Ooh. So you don't. Yeah, don't do that. I'm really trying to get you guys to not burn your houses down this holiday season. It's like, even though I hate the holidays and it's kind of my thing, I don't actually want you guys to die. So don't burn the house down.
Heartwarming.
Yeah, I know. I really try to be tenderhearted. listen, on that note, this is a good time for us to take a quick break. Ashley and I will be right back with more about your Hanukkah woes and various ways in which Ashley is going to kill herself this holiday season. This is Ask a Clean Person, the podcast.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome back to Ask a Clean Person, the podcast. I'm Jolie Kerr, and I'm joined by Ashley Feinberg. We're talking about Hanukkah.
We are.
And hidden dangers around every corner.
And fire,
fire, and fire, 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 fire. I actually, like, have always had a pretty deep fear of fire.
Really?
Yeah.
That is how we differ.
Apparently so. Well, I grew up in one of those homes where... partly because of her profession and partly because of how she was raised, my mother could flag any potential danger in any potential situation. Mm-hmm. So, like, everything was just, like, about to jump out of the wall and kill me. Like, Angelique, get away from that Coca-Cola machine. It's not secured properly. Like, you know, I mean... which really hurt all the time.
Oh, no. Because I have two older siblings.
Don't ever shake a vending machine. Don't ever shake a vending machine, you guys. It will topple on you and you will
never
die.
Got
you,
that
will be,
message.
You will be crushed to death by Cheetos and those horrible chiclet gummy things. Yeah, don't do it.
No, because I had two older siblings and I'm like 6 years or 6 and 8 years younger. So I was left to my own devices constantly.
This explains so much.
Yeah. So I had lots of time to experiment with what was fun.
Yes.
And dangerous.
I'm unsupervised Ashley over here. Yeah. I'm an only and I was incredibly supervised. And now I'm terrified of everything. It actually is not a bad quality in this line of work because I do, you know, as I said, I peddle in a lot of like dangerous chemicals.
I mean, you seem generally more well-adjusted than me, so I think it's worked out.
It's all a lie, Ashley. I'm absolutely not well-adjusted. I'm great at faking it.
All right. Matters.
Speaking of horrible accidents that can happen, we have now come to the Lucky Frying segment. Lucky Frying is indeed very dangerous. It is also very messy. Mm-hmm. We have lots and lots of questions. Some of these were so weird. I was like, I love you guys.
I'm excited. So much,
you weirdos. Okay, so the first one actually was from Eve. She had another question. And then there was Aaron had an addendum. So I'll have you read those two together.
All right. Let's see. Eve says, how do you make sure your modest-sized apartment doesn't smell like a deep fryer when guests come over for latkes? And Aaron adds, I would like an addendum. When you have one tiny kitchen window or none, no exhaust fan, and no kitchen door or living room door.
Yes, I have help for that. So actually, the first thing I want to say about it is that eliminating cooking smells while you're cooking is pretty impossible. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just the nature.
I can, like, smell it now just thinking about it.
Yeah. The other thing I would say, you know, as someone who has frequently been a guest in Lucky Frying homes, is that I wouldn't worry about it so much. It's a delicious smell and it's very festive. And that is part of the experience of, you know, not just the Hanukkah meals, but most of our holiday meals that we have. You know, you think about coming into a home where Thanksgiving dinner is being made, and you can smell the turkey and the stuffing going, and you know, for people who celebrate Christmas, you know, you come into the home and you smell all kinds of smells, you know, the Christmas tree and maybe some orange and clove and maybe, you know, a roast beef in the oven. We have roast beef on Christmas mm-hmm. in my family. And that's part of the holiday. So I wouldn't kill yourselves so much to have a neutral smelling home when you're cooking a holiday meal in that home right. and having people over. With that said, there are some simple things you can do to sort of cut back on the smell being very overwhelming and to encourage the smell to leave post-cooking, which the first one, I mean, it's incredibly facile, but like, again, I'm here to tell you these things so you don't have to think of them. Open the windows. Turn on the vent fan if you have a, you know, a vent hood with a fan.
Does it actually do anything? I turn it on all the time, but I don't know that it's actually, like, working.
It does. I think the thing is that in our shitty New York apartments, mm-hmm. they don't work that well.
Yeah.
But if you actually have, like, you know, a proper kitchen and not a kitchen on a wall like I have.
I mean, the noise is comforting. It sounds yeah, like it's doing something, which is all I really need.
Yeah,
but
it's psychological. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I find my vent fan works, but a lot of it really is kind of that psychological comfort. But I know that it works because every once in a while, oh God, I had an incident like a few years ago. I made a cranberry upside down cake and I used the wrong cake pan, which I just so you guys know, bad things happen to me. and the cranberry like started spilling down onto the floor of my oven and it burned. So the whole house just like smelled like smoke. So obviously, you know, I turned the vent fan on. And I did notice that it was helping to remove the smoke. Cause like you could see the smoke, obviously.
But, like, where is it taking the smoke?
There's an exhaust.
Huh?
Yeah. And so for me, I live on the top floor, so it's probably just taking it right up to the roof. But yeah, they do work. The other thing is if you don't have a vent, or you're like me and Ashley and you don't have a particularly good vent, you can get plug-in vents. Another thing before you even go to like that stage of thing is using a standing fan or just like a wall plug-in. There are fans that you can get that are plug-in and flush mounted against the wall. They're very small. And those are great. Like I used to recommend those a lot for bathrooms, for like, you know how in New York there are a lot of bathrooms that don't have any ventilation at all?
Yes.
Like there's no window and there's no fan or anything mm-hmm. like that. And there's no room for anything.
Yeah.
I used to recommend those little plug-in fans for those kinds of people.
My concern about that is like my smoke alarm will like go off if like I like breathe incorrectly. So like I'm like, is like, how do you like stop that from like wafting over to the...
Yeah, I mean, the thing is that the circulation, especially if you have the window open, is actually going to help to keep the air moving mm-hmm. so that it doesn't set off the smoke alarm. But yeah, I mean, it's kind of one of those things, like, don't disable the smoke detector.
I do a lot.
Don't do that. The pyromaniac over here is like, oh, the smoke detector.
If I'm there and I can see the fire, why do you need it?
Excuse me, I'm going to break into your apartment and just install smoke detectors in places where you can't find them.
That's probably good, honestly. Like I don't have the self-control not to do it, so if someone could just do it for me where I can't find it, that would be great.
I'm probably also just going to like wallpaper the walls with bubble wrap just to keep Ashley safe. Like, you're a national treasure, Ashley. We can't lose you.
I would love to have bubble wrap walls, honestly. All this sounds great to me.
You would just be popping it all the live long, right?
Yeah, everything sounds so satisfying.
Yeah, well, listen, we'll make it happen. I'll bring the power tools over. We'll have a whole day of it.
Perfect.
So yeah, so the plug-in wall-mounted fans are really great. There are also plug-in wall-mounted or small unit air purifiers. Now, just like here's a quick sidebar about air purifiers. Air purifiers aren't really designed to take odors out of the air. Some of them do, but most of them don't. Like if you think that you're just gonna like turn an air purifier on and like the smell of someone having smoked a cigarette in your apartment is gonna go away, that's just not how they work. Like
do they work?
They do work, but they serve a different function, and their function is really much more around allergens.
Mm.
So they really are critical for people who have serious allergies. But they're not like they don't suck in bad smelling air and spit out good smelling air. That's kind of not their function.
Air purifiers are one of the things where I have no evidence for this or any information to back it up, but in my heart, I believe they're scams.
I completely understand that stance.
Mm-hmm.
I know too much.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
full stop, you guys. I'd like to be put out of my misery now. I know too much. But yeah, I kind of feel the same way too. And part of the reason that I feel that way is because they don't take in bad smelling air and spit out good smelling air.
And
I feel like that's what they're supposed to do. They're air mm-hmm. purifiers. Like your whole function. Purify. Yeah. But that isn't really kind of the way they work. With that said, they will help over time. And there's some inexpensive ones that you can find that, again, are kind of the ones that, like, you just plug in right to the wall. There's a brand called Holmes, and there's a brand, I can't even read my handwriting, Bioanew, that's what it is. Bioanue. That's why I couldn't read it, because it's a word that doesn't make sense. Anew. Those retail for like $30-$35 on Amazon. And those are ionic air purifiers. A few other odor eliminators that will work. Now, they're not going to take the smell immediately out of the air, but over the course of 12, 24, 48 hours, they will remove that cooking smell from your air, and they don't really require anything of you. Our canister-style odor eliminators, the one that I really, really love is called the Bad Air Sponge.
Ooh,
that's
I like the name.
I knew you would like that.
Yeah. Just straight to the point.
And it's the other thing is, well, now I'm worried. Don't eat it, Ashley.
Well, now I want to. I didn't before.
It's really weird. It's like Smurf blue. Like, it's almost like, do you know what oobleck is?
I'm not even remotely.
Okay. I actually, like, sidebar. Ashley's current editor, Tommy Craggs, was my old editor. And years ago, I was writing something, and I texted him. I'm like, do you know what oobleck is? And he's like, no. And I was like, okay, I just needed a temperature check on whether, like, everyone knew what that was or no one knew
oobleck?
What that was. Oobleck. So it comes from a Dr. Seuss book. I forget what, I think it might be Horton Hears a Who. But it's a non-Newtonian substance.
But it's not real?
No, it's real.
Okay.
Dr. Seuss just called it oobleck. But, like, it's just a non-Newtonian substance that you make out of water and cornstarch, or sometimes you make it out of, like, water, cornstarch, and glue.
Is it not black?
No, it's white, and then you add food coloring to it.
Uh-huh.
Oobleck. Huh. O-O-B-L-E-C-K. You can Google it. Well, you and I will obviously have to make some oobleck. I feel like you'll really like it, because the glue thing.
It sounds like clay. Like, I want to play with clay now.
It's not. It's like, it's slime, basically.
Ooh, that sounds even better.
Yeah, it's slime, but it has this, because it's non-Newtonian, it has this, like, really, really, really cool, weird consistency to it. Welcome to ask a non-Newtonian person.
Oh, is it like that, like, kinetic sand stuff?
A little bit. Like, it's really old
thing.
That's
the good shit if you really want to get, like, down and dirty.
I do.
Yeah.
All right, well, we'll talk about that. So anyway, yeah, the Bad Air Sponge is just kind of, it's just like weird. I don't know. It's just a whole weird thing, and it's very delightful. The other things that are very good and they're very easy to find are the gel style odor eliminators. They come in a canister. Mm-hmm. You can find those anywhere. Grocery store, hardware store, any big box store, drug store. There was one other one I was going to say. I can't remember. Anyway, they're like everywhere.
Stores in general.
Stores carry these things. And those are very good. One good spray option, I know you guys hear me talk about this all the time, but, you know, I don't really love most air fresheners because they really just sort of mask the odor. So you end up with, like, lavender smelling, locky, greasy air, right? Which does not
But if you pair it with an odor eliminator.
But the one that is really, really good is Osium. So, yeah, that's a spray.
Hmm. Why is that one good?
It's just like all the best of them. It's actually one that eliminates odors instead of masking them.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's good stuff. I learned about it like years ago researching. Oh, God, I know exactly the post. I'll tell you off mic what the post was. But I ended up on a pot smoker enthusiast forum.
Uh-huh.
And
by accident. I don't know how I got there.
It was just in my line of work. I end up in. Probably second only to you, the weirdest places on the internet in the course of doing my job. Like, mm-hmm. I have gone to some weird fucking places.
Speaking of forums, I was on a sneeze fetish forum last night.
Get out!
It was great. You would love it, actually.
I would absolutely love it. Tell me where it was. Point me to it.
I will gladly.
The best one was when I was trying to suss out the right product to use for eliminating silicone lubricant stains from sheets.
Nice.
That took me to some dark places. Yeah.
I can imagine.
That was very fun.
The sneeze fetishers probably would also do well with that tip.
They could probably use my help.
Yeah.
I know exactly what they need, actually. They need an enzymatic cleaning product.
No, they want to sneeze more.
Oh, they want to sneeze more. Oh, I could help.
Well, they want to watch other people sneeze, but...
Okay. Well, no. before you completely derail me. Uh-huh. Okay, so those are your greasy smell in the home options for you. And we have some other problems with grease. Let's see where we were. Oh, Tess had a really good one.
All right, let's see. Tess says, how do you not get oil everywhere when frying latkes?
Yeah, easy. This is actually like a little bit less of a cleaning question and more of a ask a person who cooks question. Mm-hmm. You need to get a pan screen, a splatter guard.
Ooh.
Yeah, they're cool. They kind of look like tennis rackets. They have like a long handle, and then it's just a flat mesh circular screen that you put down on the top of the pan.
Mm-hmm.
So you heat your oil up, put the screen down when you're heating the
oil
up.
Can it get through the mesh though?
It doesn't totally take away the grease splatters, but it does cut way, way, way down.
That sounds so much better than my method of just standing as far back as possible while trying to stretch towards the pan.
Yeah, no, and it definitely will help with the effect of having it come back at you. They really do help. It's pretty fine mesh. So you need to get one of those. They're cheap. You can find them at any place where you buy any kind of like cookware. Amazon will have them. They're very, very common. The other thing just to mention is, like, even with that, you're going to get the oil everywhere because you have to pick the screen up to put the latkes in, and then you have to pick the screens up to flip them, and then you have to pick the screen up to take them out. I've done a lot about, cleaning greasy cooktops and all that stuff, so it's out there. But just really quickly, the first step to do when you're cleaning a greasy cooktop, once it's cool enough to work with, is just to wipe it all down with dry paper towels and then go in with a degreasing product. Citrusolve is a great one. Zep Citrus Degreaser is another great one. You guys know I love straight ammonia. That's my favorite.
Just like pure ammonia?
Pure ammonia. You dilute it with water.
Oh, so it's not just like it's diluted.
You dilute it with water.
Okay. I was just imagining pouring like a thing of ammonia just like on the stove.
Ashley.
Well, I thought I
know. Okay,
I thought that's the impression I was under, so I was confused why you would do that. Now that I know you don't, I feel much better.
You're not allowed to work with ammonia. I'm not. You guys, sidebar, so Ashley can't hear this. You all know the rule about bleach and ammonia, but don't tell Ashley because she'll want to try it.
Oh, you don't put it together?
No, you can't mix them together.
What happens?
Ashley, don't make me tell.
I mean, I don't have either of those things, so I couldn't if I wanted to.
Okay, good. This is good.
Yeah.
If you combine the two, it makes mustard gas.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
This is why I didn't want to tell you. You guys,
why are they allowed to sell that? That seems so dangerous.
Shit. Huh. You guys, her face lit up. I hate that this is a podcast and you can't see her face.
I have so much research to
She's
do now.
So excited. Shit. I'm gonna.
I mean, the good thing is, like, it takes me a lot to, like, actually go and buy the thing, so.
I'm going to have to hire you, like, a home security guard.
Month.
Okay, yes, that's good.
Yeah.
All right, in the meantime, I'm going to hire you a home security guard.
I would also love that.
And I'm going to outfit your apartment with fire extinguishers and many, many smoke detectors that you can't find and disable.
Sounds like a nightmare, yes, the smoke detectors.
All righty, so we have another very quick and quite frankly, incredible question about the grease smell from Lockies. This is Lauren Larson.
All right. Lauren asks, how do you make grease smell go away? Last time I drank in earnest, I put a latke in my purse and forgot. It's a good question.
I've been saving that.
I want to know how long she forgot about it for now.
I don't know, but she asked me this question. So we're recording at the end of November. Mm-hmm. She asked me this question about 2 months ago.
Maybe it's still there.
So I'm guessing that it was that she put it in her purse last Hanukkah and finally got around to handling
but
it in
also,
September.
Also, under what circumstances do you put a single latke in your purse?
I can as a person who drinks heavily.
I forgot she was drinking. Never mind.
And loves latkes.
I can see that now.
I can understand that.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty easy. She didn't say what the purse was made out of. So I don't know if it was fabric or leather. If it was fabric, you can just machine wash it with Dr. Bronner's, which is our super, super magic odor killer.
Is that the best detergent?
It's the best detergent for weird odors. And I discovered it years ago. Someone had gotten, had spilled gasoline on their pants. And
as one does.
As one does. Mm-hmm. And I forget, like, if I had suggested or if she had tried it. Like, whatever it was like someone who basically did some field research for me and was like, this is the weirdest thing. It's mm-hmm. Dr. Bronner's, of all the stuff I tried, was the thing that got gasoline smell out. And so then over the years, I've recommended it for all kinds of, like, incredibly weird, stubborn odors that people can't get out with, like, regular laundering and laundry detergent. Mm-hmm. And it works. It's worked on everything.
Good to know.
Yeah. So Dr. Bronner's is the thing for smells.
Would not work on.
I mean, maybe nothing. Dr. Bronner's is made of magic. Like, so if it's launderable bag, wash it with Dr. Bronner's. If it's not, you're going to take a page out of the, my literal book. You're going to take a page out of the book of the girl who had, whose boyfriend barfed in her handbag. And you are going to use a shoe deodorizing spray like Dr. Scholl's Odorex. Hmm. Yeah. That'll do it. Just blast the bag with
it. Is that not coverage? It's like it gets rid of it?
Gets rid of it.
How?
It's because they're odor eliminators. They're designed.
Like, what do odor eliminators do?
They're basically designed. So, oh God, we don't have time to get into the science of smells. So let's sidebar that for
you
the next
lie
time.
To me, and I would be just as happy with that.
I'm not going to lie to you. Let's sidebar that. And the next time you come back, I'll get into the science of smells and how they work.
I'm going to forget, and as soon as I leave here, but I'll try to remember.
I'll remember. I have a memory like a trap. All right. The other thing is we still have two more questions. Great. And I want to make sure we get to them because they were really funny ones. So actually, I'll have you read the last two together and I'll answer them.
All right. Long time Baker fan. she says, how do you get men to shove its stains out of light colored carpet? Mm-hmm. And Allison asks, how to get red wine out of a 1950s tablecloth?
Yes.
1950s.
All right, so I promised you guys that there was one more vintage item that was coming in. I was going to talk about something else. First, let me talk about the wine stain in the carpet. Wine away. Wine away, wine away, wine away. Wine away is the thing you need. Wine away actually really, really works. That's the stuff. Do you know that I was on the Rachel Ray show? Like,
really?
A few years ago.
I do now.
With Emeril and Rachel Ray demoing how to get holiday stains. Out of,
really
various,
a great episode.
Out of various things, including Emeril himself, who Rachel, like, I guess they didn't tee him up that this was going to happen, that she was going to spill coffee on him and then I was going to get the stains,
like, out of his skin or his clothes,
his like? Out of his white chef's jacket. Emeril didn't like that so much. And Emeril kind of blamed me for it. I'm like, I didn't spill it. Two, I didn't like script the segment. Talk to Rachel.
Can't get mad at Rachel.
Yeah. So, but one of the products that I demoed on that show was Wine Away. And the great thing about Wine Away is, like, not only does it work on red wine, it also works on cranberry and pomegranate. So those are things that especially come up during the holidays and are very, very, very stainy. And Wine Away will work on all of them.
Does it work on non-red stuff?
It does. I mean, it's pretty good on other things. It's just that, like, those three red stains and blueberry and, like, it's like the reds and the purples are really, like, the super bad stains are just particularly tricky to get out. And Wine Away works on them. So,
good to know.
So what I would do for the carpet is Wine Away comes in a spray bottle. I would spray, give the stain, like, a pretty decent spray. You don't want to totally soak the carpet, but give it a pretty good spray. Let it sit for about a minute or two to start penetrating and breaking down the stain. And then go in with a damp rag, not soaking wet, because, again, you don't want to saturate the carpet so that it's soaking wet, because then you're going to end up with a whole other set of problems. But go in with a damp rag and just kind of really give it a good scrubbing. Rinse the rag as needed. Keep going back over it. Apply more Wine Away. It may take a few passes, but it should come up. If it's a really, really, really big wine stain, you might want to also consider using one of those portable carpet cleaners that I'm talking about all the time, like the Bissell Spot Clean Pro Plus or the Little Green Machine, or you could get the $69 handheld machine that I have that I love. So if it's a very deep and vast wine stain, you might want to use machinery, but probably just the Wine Away and a damp cloth will be fine. For that vintage tablecloth. Mm-hmm. There is a product that I love. It's called Angleside Restoration. It's made by this tiny little company in like Amish country, Pennsylvania.
The Amish know how to clean.
They do know how to clean. And they know textiles because they make those beautiful quilts.
But no buttons.
No buttons. So the Angleside Restoration is incredible because it will take out very old stains, even if you don't know what they are. It costs about $10 for a small canister, but you can get a couple uses out of it. That's what I would suggest using for the tablecloth. I don't know if it's like a beloved family heirloom item or if it's just something that like you got at a vintage store and you really love. So if it's something that you don't care about quite as much and you don't want to spend the extra money on, I would try just soaking it in Tide Ultra Stain Release, which is the goat of the laundry detergents. Mm-hmm. Just give it a good long soak and then launder it and see if it comes out. But if you do, if it is like sort of a precious item, the Angleside Restoration is going to be the thing for you. Hmm. So
good for the Amish.
Yeah, good for the Amish. Alrighty, on that note, this was a big episode. We covered a lot.
Yeah, and I learned so much about cleaning.
I gave Ashley so many new ways to kill herself. God, I'm going to be in so much trouble. Well, it was really fun, and I do hope to have you come back.
Same, I'm still around.
Don't burn yourself down this holiday season, Ashley, because I want you to come back.
I'll try.
So, yeah, that'll do it for this episode of Ask a Clean Person, the podcast. If you like what you heard today, please consider becoming a patron by going to patreon.com/askacleanperson and selecting one of the amazing rewards I'm offering to my listeners. I would also love it if you would subscribe on Acast, iTunes, or Spotify, leave a rating, and tell your pals about this weird little cleaning show that you love so much. And of course, thanks to you, my listeners, for joining me for another episode of Ask a Clean Person, the podcast.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.